Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Gary, is it fair to say my encapsulation of what you've done here is sort of like returning to the scene of the crime and reviewing the evidence all over again?
Absolutely. If I was going to do a reinvestigation, I had to literally go back to the right after the incident and start to follow the trace. I've got 30 years of policing experience, 6 years in the Royal Air Force Police. I've worked on 2 nuclear weapons storage areas during my time in the Royal Air Force Police. I did the same job as what the U.S. Air Force Security Police did involved in this incident. I then went on to a 24-year career in the police, the last 19 years as a detective. I was an advanced interviewer of suspects and witnesses. So I've got 30 years of policing experience. The only way I could ever do a reinvestigation is from an evidential point of view. And once I'd realized how the format would be, it would be literally to just be the facts. I mean, in the first part of the book, I say I have no friends to reward and no foes to punish. We're going to go wherever the facts take, because facts are neither Republican nor Democratic. They are the facts. And that was a great quote from Trey Gowdy, the former Republican congressman, that I thought was particularly pertinent to what I was going to try to do. I took out sentiment and I literally went back and I delved as deep as I could go and then took out things that I thought the public have never heard about or rarely have heard about, and expanded on them. I found old interviews. I reevaluated. I found new testimony from people who'd already been interviewed sometimes, but then I got new testimony from other people, completely different, that led to major things coming out. For example, the Lieutenant Bonnie Tamplin was a shift commander. And she is what's referred to as the second incident or the second night of activity. So we're talking the 26th of December into the 27th of December. And nobody really knew her story other than that something had so traumatized her that she'd gone off shift and seemingly never went back. Well, during the course of my reinvestigation, I spoke to an airman called Michael Stacey Smith. And he'd had an earlier sighting earlier in 1980, and the book lists 3 what are called precursor important UFO cases that took place earlier in the year leading up to the December offence. But when I spoke to him, he made an off-the-cuff remark that indicated he knew something about the Bonnie Tamplin. And when I got talking to him, he basically told me this, and obviously aware of the time. But basically, Bonnie Tamplin, the chief commander, responded to a call saying from the East Gate at Woodbridge, RAF Woodbridge, by an airwoman called Laurie Bowens, and she'd said that a red ball of flame had dropped into the forest. And she reported it, and she happened to be on mobile patrol. And she was leaving on a public road between RAF Bentwaters to RAF Woodbridge, so a twin base complex, and in the middle was this Rendlesham Forest. So you're talking maybe a 4 mile distance. And if she's on the public road, she says, I'll respond to that. Well, anyway, the next thing is that she's screaming over the radio, help, 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 and she's clearly traumatized. Well, that's what we knew. Well, Michael Stacey Smith then gave me this incredible story of literally how this poor lieutenant was run off the road by a UFO on a British rural public road between the two bases. She was run off the road by a UFO. A UFO, she's driving along in a military vehicle, and a UFO, a sphere, comes to the side of her and starts parallel, hedgerow height, and then suddenly she's so terrified she loses control of the vehicle. She runs it off the road. She goes into a ditch, right? And his testimony is direct testimony, because what he's saying is, I was told to go to a gate, which was called the Butley Gate, which is at the rear of RAF Bentwaters, and open it up quick. And then he sees a convoy of police vehicles go out rushing out. And he didn't know why. Stay there. A few minutes later, he sees a military vehicle come back through the gate, and he sees Lieutenant Bonnie Tamplin looking disheveled. She's crying her eyes out. She's clearly traumatized by something. The driver is a guy called Robert Ball, Sergeant Robert Ball. He doesn't really know what's going on. Then, a few minutes later, another military vehicle comes back in through the Butley Gate, and this time it turns out to be Lieutenant Bonnie Tamplin's vehicle, and he sees direct testimony that this vehicle has sustained roof damage, it's as if it's been rolled into a ditch, but it's still been drivable. He then goes in, once these vehicles have gone in, and the sergeant says to him, if you don't reveal my name, I'll tell you what happened. And the story goes, so this is the hearsay part, but I have no reason to disbelieve what Michael Stacey Smith says. He said that this female officer was on the public road, she's run off the road. Now, when she rolls the vehicle, she crawls out, and the UFO is just hovering above her, close by. So she is so frightened that she picks up her M16 and starts discharging several rounds, i.e. firing at this thing, that then goes away. And that's why she was screaming then over the radio, help, help, help. And he confirmed, the sergeant confirmed to him, that the number of rounds that she discharged were all neatly put back, and the whole incident on a British public road was covered up all these years. So nobody's known that until I'm just telling you this now, until this book is out. And what a story. We didn't really have a clue. I have no reason to disbelieve Michael Stacey Smith. But we're talking about things in the book like final confirmation that beams, the UFO, shone a beam down into the nuclear weapons storage area at RAF Bentwaters. There were rumours, but never direct testimony. But a guy came forward to me called Steve Longero, and he's an interesting person because he had a 30-year law enforcement career, sheriff, a bit like me. He was in the military, US Air Force Security Police, and then he went on to have a long law enforcement career. Absolutely stand-up guy, and he said, I was new to the base, and I stood there inside the nuclear weapons storage area walking around with an experienced airman, and then suddenly we saw a UFO, and it started shining a beam down, like akin to a laser beam, into the nuclear bunkers. And he said it did like a pendulum motion, as if it was scanning all the way down what was called the hot row of nuclear bunkers, because it was what was underneath, tactical nuclear weapons. And he said then the UFO went off towards Rendlesham Forest. Now, you'd think that would be the end of it, but he goes, no, I've got another incident to tell you about. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I was because I'd only just gone on to shift, he says, everything was kicking off in the forest. So they wanted more, as many security police to go into the forest. So I was taken, because I was like supernumerary, I was taken from the weapon storage area, taken into the forest with many others. And he said there, I was taken to the initial first night landing site, which had been two or three nights earlier. And then he said there was another UFO incident that he saw with about 10 or 15 others. And this is long before Colonel Holt was even there. And so this is an entirely new incident. So not only have you got him saying as a first-person direct testimony, I was inside, I saw the UFO shining a beam down into the nuclear weapons storage area, he then goes and tells me that he's been involved in another incident.
Well, let's back up just a little bit, Gary. So yeah. in your book, hello? We'll back up just a little bit. In your book, you share that there were a number of incidents, not only the three incidents in 1980 leading up to the big one, but there are also incidents in previous years in this area. And one of the issues you explore in that context is whether or not there are nuclear weapons there. And of course, the U.S. Military will not confirm whether nuclear weapons are stored anywhere, but you have plenty of indications that they were there, and that might have something to do with why UFO activity had been seen in that area for a number of years, right?
Absolutely. I have been researching the Rendlesham case publicly since 2007, when I appeared on the UFO Hunters program with Bill Burns, and that's where I first met Colonel Holt. I've always believed why is it that UFOs regularly were turning up there? And it turns out that there were many sightings before. And in fact, there's an incredible event that comes out in the book that was originally listed as to be a part of the December 1980 event. And it's chapter 20, which is a new testimony, completely new testimony of a guy called James Stewart. Now, he's not a U.S. Air Force security police officer. He is actually what was called a crew chief. He was repairing aircraft, and there were just three. So it turns out that he got the date wrong. He thought it was December 1980. It was December 1979. So 1 year earlier, he relates a case that is sensational in the sense that he is working on a Phantom F4. There are only three left. They have to be off the base by January of 1980. He's working underneath, and then he feels something shudder, as if something was walking on the spine of the plane. And he thinks, what's that? And then he hears a stroke mark, and a new canopy had been put on this F4 that he's repairing, and he climbed up the steps to the cockpit and found three claw marks on this new canopy, and he then saw footprints along the back in the dew, this during the middle of the night, and something jumped down. He didn't see it, but he felt the judder, and something jumped down off the tail and then went running through the underground bushes, nearby bushes, off. So all he sees is something scurrying towards the outer perimeter fence, and this is very close to the East Gate area of Woodbridge. He then sees this scurrying. He never gets to see what it was, but he sees that seemingly this object, whatever it is, has passed through the fence. It's now on the outside of the fence, and it's moving to his left towards a clump of trees. Now, at the same time, believe it or not, and I've checked this guy out, so I have no reason to disbelieve him. I've seen his records. He sees a UFO landing, descending, and disappearing behind these clump of trees. The same time, he then starts hearing shots being fired, as in somebody opening fire at something by the security guard, U.S. security police officer, who was at the East Gate. Now, routinely, that was not manned. So this is odd in itself, but he said there was a security police officer at the East Gate, and he was shooting at something, and he heard him shout something like, get away, get away. And then that security police officer saw something scurrying away through the undergrowth, didn't see what it was, and it was heading in the same direction as the object that he'd seen landing in the forest, and this other object. So you had this scenario of like two separate things scurrying through the trees to a UFO that's landing behind some trees. And he then is approached by what was called the crew bus. His boss came along hearing the shots fired and said, get in, get in. We thought you'd been abducted. And believe it or not, it sounds like science fiction. but this guy, I'm rushing because of the time element, but this guy is an absolutely standard guy. He's willing to be interviewed. I've seen his records. I have no reason to doubt him. But it's another interesting twist. And that's a year before. So when people say, was there expected in December 1980? Well, maybe there is a story to that, because this opens up a new avenue. We then have three major events take place in February, July, and November of 1980 leading up to it. And one of the things that this is always about, and you talked about the nuclear issue, is that Colonel Holt, when I met him, told me privately there were more nuclear weapons at RAF Bentwaters than anywhere else in Europe. Now, he told me that twice, and it was a nuclear base. I found a document, it's in the book, that said that Bentwaters housed, I think, 25 nuclear weapons. But actually, I think it housed many, many more. And with the comments made by Colonel Holt to me, I think that, which is since denied, but I think that that's why UFOs turn up.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step, and you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You make a point of including Robert Hastings' references to his book, UFOs and Nukes, and
Brilliant.
He documents it all over the world that UFO activity is over nuclear weapons and nuclear weapons storage areas like RAF Bentwaters.
Yeah, massive connection. But what a lot of people don't realize is the context, and I say early on in the book that context is everything, and the nuclear weapons aspect is this, that at the time of the Rendlesham Forest incident in December 1980, literally hundreds of thousands of Soviet troops were massing on the borders of Poland because of the rise of the shipyard workers' movement under Lech Wałęsa, who went on to become the president. But it was still then a Soviet state, and people feared that there was going to be a nuclear war, a third world war scenario, that the Soviet Union going to go into Poland, crush the rebellion, and like they'd done in Czechoslovakia and Hungary. And so that was happening. And then you also had the powder keg of the Middle East, which was high tension because of the 52 Iranian hostages that were being held in Iran. And so you had the world at a crisis point, and I think it was the amount of nuclear weapons that were illegally hidden there as to why US force kept going to Arif Bentwaters in particular. There's got to be reason. There's this long correlation going back to the 1940s about new UFOs and nuclear weapons and nuclear power plants, right, et cetera, et cetera.
We're going to go to a break in about 2.5 minutes, but I wanted to touch back on that. You said there were these three incidents in 1980 leading up to the events around Christmas time. I wanted to just summarize those a little bit, if you could, because two of those incidents are really similar. They're big, giant balls of orange, red fire, and then they split into three pieces. Just this, it's not a craft that we have, right, in our arsenal.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can go into that after the break.
Well, you can describe it. We got a minute or so. Just describe what one of those accounts was
The first one involves even though they're a woman, they're called airmen, which I don't quite understand, but that was the time. So airman Laurie Rehfeldt was on duty, sat in a vehicle near the East Gate at RAF Woodbridge, and she sees a light coming towards, she was facing out towards the forest, and to her left is basically the runway of RAF Woodbridge. And what you'd often see is aircraft coming in the middle of the night, and then suddenly the landing lights would all come on, illuminated, and the plane would land. Well, she sees this light coming in at a fairly low trajectory, and she's looking at it and expecting the runway lights to suddenly illuminate so it could land, and they don't. And as it comes towards her, she's thinking, well, that doesn't look like a plane. There's no noise or anything. It's the middle of the night. And then suddenly, as the object comes towards it, it divides into three objects that then all go off in different directions, which is clearly not a plane. So that's a major incident in itself, and that was February of 1980. And then you go to July, and this is where Michael Stacy Smith gets involved. Michael Stacy Smith, the guy who's just told me about Lieutenant Monty Tamplin, he was by the East Gate. And what you had is aircraft shelters to protect the aircraft. And he was in an area near the East Gate, just on patrol, and he sees what he describes as a beach ball size glowing object just running parallel just outside the perimeter. And he's thinking, what the hell is this? And he goes, he's got his weapon trained on it, and he calls for backup. And two people come out, and one of them goes towards the fence. And he actually cocks his weapon, and it's an M60. If you think of Rambo and that big heavy machine gun.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.